Good morning. Today's daf and getting nun test. We find ourselves on nun chesam and beis. We are towards the top of the amud. We're going to be starting with the words Tana Rabbanan. It is about six lines down, not about. Six lines down for the top of the amud. We continue on the topic of Sikrikin. Rachman is during the time of the Roman persecution of the Jewish people. So there was a lot of land grabbing. Romans came over to Jewish people and just simply repossessed their property. I say repossess. Certainly, it's not a repossession. In other words, it belonged to the Jew, but the guy took it. And we're not just talking about Stam Gaim. We're talking about Gaim who are threatening the lives of the Jewish people. And now, it's in the hands of the Sikrikon. So it really depends, and the Gemara pointed this out at the beginning of the entire sugya, all the way back on Nun Hey. We've been on this topic for a while, but remember, we took 3 days off. Not off. But 3 days away in terms of Agadat of Churban Bayis Sheni. So even though the topic started on Nun Hey, but Nun Vav, Nun Zayin, Nun Ches, so all was dedicated to Agadat HaBach Churban Beis HaMikdash. So anyway, so now here we are on yesterday's daf, finishing up yesterday's daf, and we're continuing now on the topic of Sikrikon. And the Gemara pointed out at the beginning of the sugya that it really depends where we're holding historically. In other words, the Sikrikon, sometimes the Romans were of the position that Jewish blood is cheap. In other words, even before that, during the real throes of Roman persecution, so there was a mandate to kill the Jews, right? Then it relaxed just a little bit, and that Jewish blood was cheap. You kill a Jew, but it'll cost a little bit of money. And then finally it became unlawful to go ahead and kill a Jew. When we got to that third phase, so the Sikrikon took the land, so your life wasn't in jeopardy. So at that point in time, so the Sikrikon took it, you're still the Marakama, you're still the original owner. In phases one and two, again, we point this out back on Nun Hey, on phases one and two, so when you gave him the land, so it was Gamar Makne. Now, of course, it's not fair, but in other words, but your life is in the balance, and so therefore you're exchanging the land for your life, and that's a real exchange. Your life was really in jeopardy. And so therefore that was a Kenyan, Gamar Makne. However, when we get to the third stage where your life is not really in the balance, it just happens to be that you are really scared of this individual. So right now you're going to hand over your land, but it's not a Kenyan. And therefore what you're going to do is you're going to expect that you're eventually going to be able to get your land back. What if in the interim the Sikrikon went ahead and sold it to somebody else, another Jew? So now we get onto the topic of the Din Sikrikon. The Din Sikrikon tells us now that when the Jew goes ahead and buys it, another Jew buys it from the Sikrikon. So we learned about various takanas. The original takana was that first he has to negotiate with the Marakama, the original owner, and then and only then negotiate with the Sikrikon. That was the original takana. But then even a post-takana of Din Sikrikon, and that is any buyer who goes ahead and buys the land is going to go ahead and pay for it, and he'll give the Marakama, the original owner, a quarter, and we'll talk about more of that a little bit later on this morning, and he'll get to keep it. So this is really an institution to protect buyers. Again, remember, we're in the fifth parak of Masechta Gittin, and what are we talking about? Tikkun Olam. In other words, protection acts, various protection acts. We're protecting a whole bunch of people over here. This entire institution of Sikrikon is to protect the buyer. Okay. And that is just a brief summary of what we've been doing since Daf Nun Hey. We are now in the Gemara on Nun Ches Amud, based on a Rabbanan. We're starting on the top of the Amud. With the following lakach min haSikrikon, you went and you purchased it from the Sikrikon va'achla shalosh shanim b'fnei ba'alim. And what you do now is that you've been on that land and uninterrupted for 3 years. So you went ahead and you enjoyed 3 years of harvesting, and the original owner said nothing. Now this takes us to the third parak of Baba Basra. There we know that if you are living on a land unchallenged for 3 years, after those 3 years, you do not need to produce any documentation that you are the owner of that land. It is simply sufficient to say that you're the owner by virtue of the fact that you were there for 3 years. This is what's called Cheskas Gimel Shanim, the chazaka of living on a land. And the reason why the Gemara Baba Basra explains is because after 3 years, you're not expected to keep all your paperwork. In other words, when you purchase a land, so obviously there was a contract and there was paperwork, and your proof of ownership is going to come if ever challenged with you just simply saying, I own it, here's the paperwork. But after 3 years, you're not expected to hold it anymore. I always say, like the IRS tells us, 7 years you have to hold on to your documents. After 7 years, you're not expected to hold it anymore. So over here, the Chachamim said 3 years for your for your contract. So what you did now is that you bought it from a Sikriko and you ate it now for 3 years. The Marakama, the original owner, knows all this. And now, so now what you did, so again, now this is a real history. There was a Marakama, Sikrikon took it from the Marakama, you bought it from the Sikrikon, you settled on it for 3 years, you harvested it for 3 years, and then you went ahead and you sold it. That's four people involved in this episode. That's why at the end of yesterday's daf, I'm like, this is going to be complicated. Okay, this is complicated. Now, Marakama, the original owner, cannot go to the second buyer and has no tainas on the second buyer. So the Gemara says, wait.
For the quarter, you mean.
Huh?
For the quarter.
Ah, so in other words, for that extra quarter. Now, hey, Chidami, the Gemara says, now I need more clarification. I need to understand that better. So if we're talking about a case where the second buyer, right, the Lokech Sheni, says, in other words, remember, it was Marakama, Sikrikon, Lokech Rishon, Lokech Sheni. Okay, those are our candidates. So either katan v'amar minachzavna. If now the second lokeach said that I purchased it from the lokeach rishon, so afilo rishon nami. So the Gemara says I don't understand. The rishon also can make such a claim. Remember, he's been on the land now for 3 years. So over here, after 3 years, so if somebody tries to challenge you and say I'm the true owner, after 3 years, you get to say no, I am. So v'ilo katayin v'amar minach zavna. So and if he doesn't make a taina, afilo sheni nami lo. Well, if the first one did not claim that he successfully acquired it, i.e., I gave a quarter money to the original owner. Well, then if that's true by the first, then wouldn't that be true by the second? So in other words, basically what the Gemara is trying to understand is what better position is number two over number one. If the Lokeach Rishon is able to keep the land with the simple claim of, I took care of everything I needed to take care of, so why don't we say the same thing with the Lokeach Sheni? The way the Bryce is presented to us is as it's as if the Lokeach Sheni somehow is going to be in a somewhat better position. So I'm Rav Sheshi, it's all Lambed Lokatayin Lai. So, So the Gemara says that, generally speaking, you're right. In other words, each one of them is basically on the same footing legally in terms of the relationship to the property. Are they the owner of the property? If, when challenged, they say we took care of that which we needed to do so, in both cases, the Lokech Rishon and the Lokech Sheni get to maintain ownership of the property. The only difference between number one and number two is that number one has to make the claim themselves. Number two, we will do it on their behalf. This is what's called Ta'aninan. We will argue on their behalf. We'll provide for them the legal argument if they themselves don't know how to do so. We do so for a lokech. We do so for a yorish under certain circumstances. The idach itain in ilotain lo. However, when it comes to lokech rishon, so he has to make the proper claims. In other words, when challenged, when the lokech rishon bought it from the sikrikon, who took it from the marakama, and the marakama goes to the lokech rishon and challenges, so the lokech rishon now has to advance his own arguments. I.e., I bought it from the Sikrikon, and I gave you a quarter. In other words, he has to come back with the proper argumentation in order for him to keep the land. When it comes to Lokeach Sheni, we'll do it on his behalf. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara continues. We're going to do a couple more halachas of Sikrikon. So, haba machmas chov, machmas an parseim bo mishum Sikrikon. So, let's say somebody's land was taken away because of a debt. Let's say somebody's, that's chov. Let's say somebody's land is taken away on paris. On paris basically means no cause. Land was taken away from you, but there's really was no good justification. It just happens to be that he was tougher than you. So ain bo mishum sikrikon, so there we're not going to use sikrikon legislation. We're not going to go ahead and protect the buyer. So on paris, atzmat tzricha shetisha shtemasar chodesh. Now, when far as on paris is concerned, so the in order for the land to have the status of an amparous land, so the it has to be in the hand of the goy for 12 months. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Amart ein bo mishum sikrikon. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. In other words, you just told me that it's not subject to sikrikon law. So the so Gemara says Hachi Kamar. No clarification. You're right. Meaning that the 12 month was not a description of Anparos land, but rather was just a simple clarification of Sikrikon land. Meaning, when do we get to the legislation of Sikrikon? Again, Sikrikon goes in and protects the buyer. Buyer buys it from the Sikrikon, he gets to keep the land. Again, there's a detail in which he's got a couple of loose ends that he's got to tie up, but he gets to keep the land. He did not lose his money when he goes and purchases the land. So how do we get there? So again, you have to qualify Sikrikon land. In other words, the person who took the land has to be under the legal category of Sikrikon, and 12 months the land had to be by him. Why 12 months the land had to be by him? Because again, the assumption is that the Marakama, the original owner, if he felt that the land was illegitimately taken from him, so he would have taken the person to court. But over here, after 12 months, we assume that the Sikrikon now is going to be the de facto owner of the land, and therefore when the buyer buys it from the Sikrikon, he gets to keep it. But it had to be in Sikrikon possession for 12 months.
25%?
We'll get to that. I'm Rav Yosef Nakhtita Nein on Paros B'Bavel. So the Gemara says, now there's no on Paros in Bavel. The Hakka Chazina Dika. Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but meanwhile, I see what's happening here in Bavel. The non-Jews are, in fact, just simply taking possession of lands. So the Gemara says, Ela, Ema, Ein Din, Anparos, Bavel. So there's no din of Anparos, meaning this category of Anparos seizure, which we said is not subject to Sikrikon. So the Gemara says, that's not true in Bavel. Why not? So my time, the Gemara answers. Kevin deika beidar velo velo azil kavil ema chule achel. In Bavel, what you have is that you do have a legal system. You have a legal system in Bavel, and therefore, as a function of there being a legal system in Bavel, what we assume is that in the event that the original owner didn't come and take the case to court, so we assume a mechila. Okay. Modern Hebrew, the Beidar is the post office. So it was a little bit strange. I was just trying to think. There's no post office in Bavel. Okay, but from the Gemara perspective, the Beidar is the post office. Okay. Gidol bar Reili kabel arad betaska mibnei baga. Okay. We have just spent the last 10 minutes of Shir. And
translates Davar to
Shoyftin. Yeah. In other words, a court system. Yeah, they had a legal system. We spent the last 10 minutes of Daf today, really the beginning of Daf today, continuing on the topic of Sikrikon. Again, land was seized. So under certain circumstances now, when a Jew goes and buys from the one who seized, so what the Chachamim did is they protected his purchase. In other words, they basically afforded him the ability to keep his land, and the money and the land is not going to be taken back by the Marakama. It is a buyer's protection act. That's the general idea behind Sikrikon. Again, he does have to go back to the Marakama. He does have to give him a quarter of its value. We have not articulated why. We will do so momentarily. Anyway, that's the idea of Sikrikon. What we're going to be doing now for the next 5 minutes is that we're going to be going to a bit of a sidebar. We're going to go over a story that is really unrelated to Sikrikon. And the only reason why it's here now in our Gemara is simply because the Gemara says, don't compare this case to Sikrikon. Okay, that's why we're going to go over this story. What is the story? So back in the day, they had something similar to an association. It wasn't the same, but basically you had a community, and what everybody would do is that everybody would take shares in that community, but it probably was more for farming than it was housing. But anyway, everybody would take shares in that community. And then they would work the land, and obviously they would take the produce, sell the produce. It would be a farming enterprise. Now, in order for you to get shares in that property, so there was real estate tax, and so what you had to do in order to claim that you were a shareholder in the property is that you had to pay your real estate tax. By you paying your real estate tax, that now allowed you access and shares in the actual land itself. So what happened? The following incident happened. Gidol bar Reili kibal ara betaska mimnei baga. So the name of the community was B'nai Baga. B'nai Baga is just simply the community members. And what happened was, is that one of the members of the B'nai Baga, so he just disappeared. And so therefore now, his shares were available. So this Gidol Bar Reili said, you know what? I'm gonna front and I'm gonna pay the taxes, and I'm going to assume his share of this community, of the land, so I can go ahead and I can work the land. So far, so good. That which becomes now a Shaila is that he didn't just up front load, he didn't pay up front 1 year of taxes. He did so for the next 3 years. Now that wasn't the minhag. The minhag was only to pay per annum. So in other words, for the upcoming year, this is going to be our tax responsibility. We'll break it up amongst the various members of this community, and each one is going to front 1 year's worth of taxes. This Gidol Bar Reili did so for 3 years. Now, here's the problem. First let me read the Gemara. So he did it for 3 years. In comes the Marakama, the original owner. Now it's funny, by the way, it's called the original owner. Okay, ownership over here is a little bit, it sounds much more like sharecropping than it does ownership. It doesn't matter. The point is that now the one who disappeared came back. And Amrulay Shasakama, I said, Yavta Achalta. So they say to this Gidol Bar Reili, look, for 1 year, we're going to give you the rights to your shares of the land. But that's it. In other words, for year two and three, he's going to come back in, he's going to pay the taxes, and you're going to be excused. But in other words, for year two and three, so the original member is going to come back, he's going to pay taxes for year two and three, and as far as you, Gidol Bar Reili, is concerned, it's unfortunate. Now, it's more than unfortunate, by the way. In other words, he already fronted the money for years two and three, and they were already collected by the king. So now, Gidol Bar Reili has a very simple claim. He has a taina. Wait 1 second. In other words, you're not going to just simply have my money taken away from me for years two and three. This is wrong. They go to Beis Din. Also, coming to Rapapa, they go to Rapapa, Sabalamechtavle, Tirfa Abnei Baga. And Rav Papa thought, okay, this Gidol Bar Reili, he's right. And he was going to write a Shtar Tiruf. A Shtar Tiruf is basically based in, is writing a letter allowing him to go ahead and to seize property, seize money. In other words, Rav Papa ruled in favor of Gidol Bar Reili. Amrle Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Rav Papa, Im Ked Asisa Sikrikon. Wait 1 second. So Rav Huna says to Rav Papa, I think you did not rule correctly in this case. You're treating this like sikrikon. What do we do by sikrikon? We protect the buyer. This is not analogous to sikrikon. I don't think that this is the case in which you should be going ahead and protecting the buyer. So El Amar Rav Huna Bereid de Rav Yehoshua Hiniach Ma'osav Karen Tzvi. Rather, what I think happens is that it's like analogous to putting money on the deer. In other words, you take a wallet, you put it on the deer, and what does the deer do? He runs away. In other words, he lost his money. So Rav Huna says to Rav Papa, I think this is not analogous to Sikrikon, and I think the correct ruling over here is that he loses his money. Okay. What the Gemara does not fill in over here in this discussion is, what was the argument of Rav Huna? Meaning Rav Huna says that this is not comparable to Sikrikon, that part we got. And in the case of Sikrikon, yes, the Chachamim legislated that we should protect buyers. But over here, there should be no such legislation. So why not? And the answer would seemingly be, this is the way Rashi says it. So the answer would seemingly be as follows. In the case of the purchase of a land, so when you want to purchase land, so what do you have to do? You have to front the money in order to buy the land. In other words, it's necessary for you to put up the money in order to purchase land. Over here, in this particular arrangement, how many years do you have to pay for taxes? Only 1 year at a time. When Gidol Bar Reili decided on his own that he was going to front load, pay up front 3 years of taxes ahead of time, that was not the norm. That was not the normal way of conducting business. And so therefore, for him to pay an additional year two and year three taxes so that he gets to maintain that land, that was not demanded, that was not the norm, and therefore it's not comparable to the case of Sikrikon. Okay. Zumishna Rishana Basin Shalachrim Amr Lakechman Sikrikon Nosan Labalam Reveal. Okay, so now we go back to the Mishnah, and this is going to be our last discussion regarding Sikrikon, and that is the adjusted takana. There's takana and adjusted takana. The takana was, the original takana of Sikrikon was, is that if you want to buy the land, so there has to be an order of who you negotiate with. First negotiate with the Marikama, then negotiate with the Sikrikon. That was the original takana. Then the Chachamim said, we're going to put a takana on the takana, an adjustment. And the adjustment is that you want to buy the Sikrikon, go for it. The only thing is that you have to go back to the original owner and give him a quarter. Okay, now, let's just spend a moment explaining why. In other words, what happened now in the adjusted takana of Sikrikon? So what happened is as follows. In other words, the Chachamim wanted to give even further protection to the buyer. It's an adjustment. In other words, the basin who made the takana can go ahead and they can adjust the takana. Basin has the power to go ahead and adjust any takana they want. So it's an adjustment. It's not a gzera on top of a gzera. So first of all, the adjustment to the takana was a function of the fact that really what the Chachamim were looking to do is they wanted consumer confidence. They wanted buyers to know that when you go ahead and you buy a property, so the property is going to be yours. It's a little bit shaky in terms of the history of the property. But again, in the case of Sikrikon, which again, as we already pointed out, it is not universal. It is limited. Its application is limited. We just saw a case study in the Gemara where they thought to invoke Sikrikon regulation, and they said, no, it's not comparable. So it's obviously not in every case. It is limited application, but what the Chachamim wanted to do was give afford protection to the buyer. And so now, in the adjusted takana, so when you buy from Sikrikon and you get to keep the land, order of operations no longer becomes significant. The only thing you need to do is make sure that of the land that you received, a quarter of it is going to go to the original owner. Why? Rashi points out over here, it will become evident from the Gemara that what happens is as follows. How much did the Sikrikon pay for the land? The answer, of course, is zero. In other words, the Sikrikon now is operating with pure profit. Now, what a business. Okay, no overhead. your gross revenue is your net, is your net. Okay, anyway, so obviously when the Sikrikon now is paying where every dollar they receive is profit. So in other words, they're not going to be a chazer, even though, of course, I say that. And they were totally a chazer. But in other words, but what they're going to do is that they're going to be selling the land at a discount. What you should not be benefiting, the buyer, even though the Chachamim wanted to protect you and to protect your purchase, but what you should not be doing, however, is that you should not be going ahead and benefiting from that discount. So what was the discount? That's what the Gemara is assuming. And in just a moment, we're going to be debating. It's a funny debate because it shouldn't be subject to debate. It should be whatever the discount generally was. But anyway, so it was discounted. You should not be benefiting from that discount. Typically, a quarter of the price was knocked off. So therefore, what you're going to do now is you're going to take that revia and you're going to go back to the original owner and you're going to give him that money. He's not going to be happy to see you, obviously. But in other words, but again, the Chachamim were misakin so that your purchase is in fact a purchase. Okay, so now. Because that's the amount that was discounted for you. And the Chachamim decided that although we're protecting your purchase, but we're also saying that you shouldn't be benefiting from the discount. Based in Shachrim, Amar Lokech, Masikrika, Nosin Labalim, Revia. So Amara, Revia, Revia Bakarka, Revia Bamaos, and Ushmul Amar, Revia Bakarka, Shane, Shlish Bamaos. And so now we're going to get to one of those age-old debates of how to do fractions. In other words, is it a quarter or is it going to be a third? Now, whatever. In other words, how much are you going to get discounted? So, Mar Savar Nechi Revia Zavin, or Mar Savar Nechi Chumsha Zavin. So over here, the debate between Rav and Shmuel is going to be basically how much was it discounted? According to Shmuel, it was discounted a quarter. So that means to say that it was, if it was four, it was going to be sold for three. And Rav is of the position, Nechi Chumsha Zavin. No, it was only discounted by a fifth. In other words, 20%, 20 or 25%. Meitzvei, and again, I struggle a little bit in terms of understanding. What are they debating? Meaning, if we just look at the facts, look at the data over here, where they're arguing about how much a deduction took place. Probably the better way to present the Gemara is that they're arguing over just a simple pshat in the Mishnah. Meaning, the Mishnah is trying to inform what the legislation was, and it's a question of how to read the Mishnah. That's probably the better way to present it. Either way, Meitzvei, the Gemara challenges Mishnah Rishona based in Shalach Rav Amru. Halokech Menasi Krikon, Nosil Balam Revi Aviyad Balam Al Yona. Ratzu Bekarka, Notlin. Ratzu Be Maos, Notlin. Emesai Bezman Shein Biyadan Likach. Aval Yesh Biyadan Likach, Hein Kodmin Lechol Adam. So, in the first iteration of Takana, I read through that brisa quickly. In the first iteration of the Takana, so when you buy from the Sikriko, the land is going to be yours. However, that's only when the original owner does not have money to buy it back. But if he had money to buy it back, he is given the first right to buy it back. So, Rabbi Hoshe Beisim Nimnu Shim Shasa Bifnei Sikriko Shnei Masar Chodesh. So Kol Hakodem Likach Zoche. And then Rebbe. So now we get to the basin of Rebbe. And Rebbe was the one who adjusted the takana, like we just got done describing. All we're getting over here is the Braisa, basically giving us another version of the original takana, the adjusted takana. So over here, the reason why we're quoting the Braisa is because of that last words of the Braisa. In the second iteration of the takana, what happens is that as long as the land was by the Sikrikon for 12 months, and now anyone buying it from the Sikrikon gets to keep it. Again, it's a protection, it's a buyer's protection act. The only thing is that you have to go back and you were discounted. You got to go back to the original owner and give him Revia. Now, Revia sounds like Rav. So over here, what do we have? We have a Braisa that says exactly like Rav. That's the whole reason why we call it the Braisa. Amar Ravashi Kitanya Hilach Rishabau Mosli Ado. So the Gemara says, okay, Rav Ashi says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to defend Shmuel. So and that means to say that what I'll say is the following, is that when we say Revia over here, Revia we really mean is a third, okay? Again, now this is an old debate that happens all the time, and that is how to understand fractions. Fractions could be understood one of two ways, right? Either Milagavar or Milabar, internal, external. So let's say, for example, we're talking about internal. So I go 100 and I say a quarter of 100. So what do I mean when I say a quarter of 100? So I mean 25. On the other hand, what we could always say is that it's really description of external, meaning that when we say a 100 I want to describe the quarters. I give a bad example. I realize I just painted myself in a corner. I give a bad example. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway. The quarter could be understood as a third. Okay, in the event that, let's say, for example, it was 100, and and instead of 25, it's 33. It's a quarter after I took off the fraction. Okay, fine. Anyway, basically, it's just a question of it's milabar or milagav. And we could interpret the braisa to go like Shmuel. Amar of Ana Hava Beminyan de Berebi Uminai Didi Mani Bereisha. Okay, so Adkan that basically takes us to the end of the Sikrikan discussion. Just a couple of loose ends, interesting loose ends before we get to the next Mishnah. So basically a lengthy discussion right here in Gittin, all the way from Daf Nun Hey to today's Daf Nun Tes. Again, with an interlude, with a long interlude of Churban Beis Hamikdash, but a really long discussion about Sikrikon. Again, the takeaway, you walk away from the Gemara's over here. Under certain circumstances, what the Chachamim wanted to do is protect buyers. Protecting buyers in the purchasing of property, right? This is, it helps in terms of consumer confidence. And so, under certain circumstances, you can go ahead, you can buy. The Takana went through iterations. In today's daf, really yesterday. So we went through the various iterations of the takana, but basically in the adjusted takana, even more of an interest in protecting the buyer. Okay. Amarav, as we now turn to the top of Nun Tesaman Aleph, Anahava b'minyan d'bei Rebbe. So now we get an interesting historical note, and that is Rav now says that, you know, when Rebbe adjusted the Takana and gave the Takana 2.0, so I was there. So now when the Dayanim went ahead and we sat there in the court of Rebbe and we litigated, should the legislation go through any kind of Takana? Should we amend the Takana? So you know what? They started the vote by me. Rav is telling us. Not to be proud, not to be boastful. In other words, he's just giving us good historical information. So the Gemara says, okay, but Vahanantanan Dine Mamanos, Avitaris Vitomus Matchilam and Agadol. So Dine Fashos Matchilam and Atzad. The Gemara says, wait, one second. I don't understand. Why did they start by you? Meaning, you're in Rebbe's court, obviously, the Gadol Hador was Rebbe, and you are not. So, and I don't understand. When you're doing capital punishment, so what do you have to do by capital punishment? You always, when taking a vote, you start from the smallest and you move your way up to the Rosh Beis Din. But that's in a capital case. That's Dina Nefashos. But when it comes to Dina Mamonos or Tumah Tahara, so there, you could start with the Gadol. Okay. So what the Gemara is basically wondering is, Rav, so you were there in the court of Rebbe, at that part I got. But you're also telling us that they started the vote with you, but you weren't the Gadol. Rebbe was the Gadol. I'm confused. So the, Amar Rabba Bered de Rav Avitema, Rebbe Hillel Bered de Rav Wallah, Shani Minyana de Bei Rebbe, So the Gemara says, okay, so I hear you, but I'm also telling you that protocol in the court of Rebbe, they always started from the side, they never started from the Gadol. Okay. Gemara does not explain why. The Gemara just simply assumes that was the practice that was done in the court of Rebbe. Okay. And as to why that is, unclear. But in a moment I'll give a suggestion. Okay, good. Okay, I was about to suggest that, right? Only because of the upcoming Gemara. Ve'amar Rava Berei de Rava Vi'i Tema Rebbe Hila Berei de Rav Wallace Mi'amos Moshe Vad Rebbe Lo Matzina Torah Gedula B'makom Echad. Okay. From Moshe Rebbe to Rebbe, here's what you're never going to find. You're never going to find somebody who had Torah Gedula. Gedula over here means greatness, wealth. So you never found it by one individual. In other words, through most of Jewish history, so you had basically a distribution of power. I say power, by the way, I don't love the way I presented it. It's not power as much as it is where somebody who has absolute proficiency in Torah and also was the leader of the Jewish people. Okay? Normally, under normal circumstances, it's a shared position. In other words, someone's as great as you as Torah. Someone's as great as you as Gedula. But to be the single entity, the single individual who's both Torah and Gedula, so basically it's Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a short list. It's Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Really short list. Okay. With a small separation of approximately 1,200 years between the two of them. Okay.
What about all his...
Well, the Gemara is going to challenge. So the Gemara is going to... So Torah Gedula b'makom echad. V'lova ha'havi Yoshua. So the Gemara says, what about Yoshua? Hava Elazar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but standing alongside Yoshua was Elazar. So the Gemara says, so again, what we're looking for is there any ever historical moment where it was one individual who basically was holding both belts, Torah and Gedula? So Hava Elazar. So the Gemara, I'm sorry, that was the answer. I was right the first time. Now, wasn't there Elazar, meaning after Yeshua ben Nun died? So Elazar stands now on his own, both in Torah and Gedula. Savi Pinchas, the Gemara says, no, Pinchas lived together with Elazar a Kohen, and so Pinchas was, it was a shared mantle. So the Gemara says, Vave Pinchas, after the death of Elazar, don't you have Pinchas? Have a Zekanim. So the Gemara says, in the generation of Pinchas, you had the Zekanim. Right? See the first mission in Pirkei Avos. So the Gemara says, Havi Shaul, Havi Shmuel. Shaul, didn't he hold the mantle for Torah and Gedulah by himself? Gemara says, no, they were Shmuel. V'hanachnaf Shei, the Gemara says, wait 1 second. But then Shmuel did die. So the Gemara says, kulu shnin kamrinan. What we're looking for is that basically, during the entire career, you by yourself held up the belt of both Torah and Gedulah. V'havet David, what about David HaMelech? Havet Ira Ye'iri. So Ira Ye'iri, who was a gadol in Torah, lived in the same generation as David. V'hanachnaf Shei, Ira Ye'iri died. Before David died. So kula shni be'inan. Gemara says, no, what we need is, again, a career where you're sitting there by yourself holding up Torah and Gedulah. So Avik Shlomo, so Avik Shimon ben Gera. Shlomo had to share with Shimon ben Gera v'hakatlei. Yeah, but sidebar, right, minor detail, Shlomo killed Shimon ben Gera. So kula shni kamrin, again, we're looking for a full career. During the reign of Chizkiah, Chizkiah held up Gedulah and he held up Torah as well. So the Gemara says, no, but there was Shevna that was alongside him, who was the God of the Torah. Wasn't he killed? Sancheriv killed him. So Kulishni came in, and again, what we're looking for is the full career. Ezra Nechemiah ben Chachalai. So and together with Ezra, yeah, Nechemiah. So the Gemara defends its position that Torah and Gedulah, both belts being held by one individual over their entire career. So again, it comes down to Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. I'm Rav Achabri, the Rav Avah.
Pinchas lived
400 years. Right. I'm Rav Achabri, the Rav Avah, Ani Omer, Miyamos, Rabbi Avad, Rav Ashalom, Atzi, Torah, Gedulah, B'makom Echad. And the Gemara says, and let's do that again. In other words, what we are going to do now is, from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi going forward. So where does that land us in terms of Torah Gedulah b'Malkum Echad? So the Gemara says Rav Ashi. So v'lo v'ha'ave Huna Bar Nosan shani Huna Bar Nosan demecha ave chayif le'le Rav Ashi. Huna Bar Nosan ended up capitulating to Rav Ashi. So the Gemara says that really Rav Ashi was the next one historically who held up Torah and Gedulah b'Malkum Echad. Okay. We're going to go further. I know we're going to be. I'm going to run a little bit late today, but we're going to go further. Okay. And all this brings us to probably the point that Phil made just moments earlier, and that is, why did the Gemara take us through this historical walk down memory lane in terms of Huat Torah and Gedulah? It could be the explanation in terms of why it is that in the court of Rebbe, so they always went minatzad. Meaning, Rebbe now was an imposing individual. He had Torah, he had Gedulah, b'makom echad. Rebbe's holding of both titles was unprecedented, going all the way back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. And so therefore, if Rebbe opened up his mouth, who's going to argue with Rebbe? Right. So, in the court of Rebbe, they always started min atzad. Okay. Adkan. We are now up to the, we're on Nun Tesam and Aleph, and here we go. We are going to be going over numerous other takanas. This mission over here is going to be talking about various institutions, legislations that were made to protect those who had challenges communicating. The Cheresh. The Cheresh is an Einu Shomei Veinu Medaber. Can't speak and can't hear. His mental faculties in the time of the Mishnah and times of the Gemara were significantly limited. Generally speaking, halacha does not view as this individual as somebody having das. On the other hand, we have to take care of him. In other words, obviously, it becomes now the communal responsibility to go ahead and to take care of everybody, the cherish and the cherish shota. In other words, they all community members, so they need to be taken care of. So, as part of taking care of them, so also legislation on their behalf. So over here, the legislation is that their sales are going to be legally recognized. They got to eat, they got to live. And so therefore, the Chachamim are going to be recognizing their legal transactions. So, Cheresh, Romez Venirmas, Ben Bezer Omer Kofitz Venikbas Ben Metaltalin. Romez Venirmas, so I would call it sign language, but obviously it is an extraordinarily primitive version of sign language. So basically, as long as you're gesturing and you understand what is meant by the gesturing, So they can go ahead and they can do transaction. Ben Becerra says, Kofitz v'nitfatz by metaltlin. When it comes to movable items, so we don't even need as much gesturing. Kofitz v'nitfatz explains, Rashi is basically reading lips. Now, reading lips is not going to be as clear as the gesturing, but still, if you go ahead and you can interpret their lip reading, so you can go ahead now and conduct transactions on metaltlin. Basically, Ben Becerra is telling us that we're going to be more makel when it comes to movables, for reasons which we're going to explain in just a moment. I'm Rav Nachman. I'm sorry, I missed an important line of the Mishnah. Hapa'utos mechameka memkra memkra b'metaltlin. Young children. Yeah, young children, we're going to recognize their transactions. In a moment, we're going to explain that a lot better. I'm Rav Nachman Machlokas b'metaltlin v'abakidin divrei akol b'remiza. So when it comes to metaltlin, so we have a debate in our Mishnah. Tanakama ben Becerra. However, when it comes to Gittin, so an Echerish is going to divorce his wife. Now, just to be clear, Rashi points out, when is the Echerish divorcing his wife? In other words, if the marriage is a Torah marriage, so then the Echerish will not have the ability to divorce his wife. I know that presents a significant problem, but right now, just to explain the Gemara, it would only be an option for a Echerish to divorce his wife when he married her as a Echerish. Marrying her as a Echerish now, so that is a That's a kedushin derabanan. So hey mamru ve hey mamru. In other words, the chachamim can put him in the marriage. The chachamim also can take him out of the marriage. But what we need from him is some communication. There, according to Rav Nachman, there's no debate. You need the higher threshold of communication. You need remiza. You need actual gesturing. So pshita ben metaltlan tanan the Gemara says, yeah, I'm looking at the Mishnah. I would have figured that out. So now the tema af metaltlin kamash malan. You could have interpreted the Mishnah then when it said metaltlin, it means even metaltlin. Okay, so just to make sure that we're clear that that's not what the Mishnah means, Rav Nachman says, I want to be clear. That's not what the Mishnah means. Only by metaltlin is there a debate whether or not we could use the lower threshold of communication. But when it comes to Gittin, we can only use the higher threshold. Igadamre, am Rav Nachman machlokes b'metaltlin. Kach machlokas begitin is in version number 2. We are, in fact, debating both metaltlin and gittin in our Mishnah. Vahanam b'metaltlin tan. Yeah, but look at the Mishnah. Read the Mishnah. So, ema af b'metaltlin. Yeah, but I can interpret the Mishnah as af b'metaltlin. Okay. Putos mecha mecha omemkar memkar b'metaltlin ad kama machve rav Yehudal rav Yitzchak b'rei kebar shiz kebar shev rav Kahana mar kebar shev kebar tamnei. And Mamasis and Tana Kabar Tesha Kabar Eser. We're going to recognize transactions of a minor. Even though the Torah does not recognize the transaction until the Bar Mitzvah, Takanus Chachamim is that already when they're younger, we're going to recognize their transaction. In a moment, the Gemara is going to explain, right? These kids need to buy food. They need to eat. And so therefore, the Chachamim legislated that they can go ahead and they can buy when? Three opinions. Either around 6 or 7, 7 or 8, yeah, 6 or 7, 7 or 8, or 9 or 10, thereabouts. V'lo pligi, kol chav v'chan l'fi chorfe. But the Gemara says, look, over here we're not going to be giving a singular number because we're really talking about development and basic cognitive development. It is not a hard number. Some are early bloomers, some are late bloomers. So therefore, we're going to give a range. And when you find that the child has enough acumen where he understands the basics of transaction, then we're going to go ahead and acknowledge. And the Gemara over here gives a svara pshuta, right? A simple explanation. In other words, so that what we want him to do is we want him the ability to eat, go into the marketplace, buy food, and that's why the legal recognition of their kinyanim is going to be only on metaltalim, but of course not on karka. Just a short tangent over here. The pasuk in Malachim Beis, a description over here of, a description over here about the king Yehu. He wanted to kill the Kohen Baal. Kohen Baal are basically idolaters, but not just idolaters. right? The leaders of the idolatrous community, right? The Kohanim, but and we're using the word Kohanim over here like a priest. And so what Yair wanted to do is he wanted to kill them all, rightfully, legitimately so. In other words, they're not only being over to Avodah Zarah, but they're leading others in Avodah Zarah as well. What was his move? It was very simple. He invited them over for some pizza. Okay, I'm only exaggerating in terms of what it was, and he invited them into the palace by luring them in by telling them, right, you guys are going to get serious accommodations for doing such a great job. And also, he dressed them up. In other words, he told them that on this special day, you're going to be wearing special linen clothing. And by doing so now, he can easily identify which one are the Kohanim. And therefore, he's going to kill all of them who are wearing the linens. Okay, anyway, see Malachim for more details on the story. Over here, the only reason why we're bringing the story is because the one who's going to teach us it's not even a halacha over here, it's just shot in the pasuk. It's going to be Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov Amar Rav Yochanan, who we just cited earlier. So that's the loose connective tissue between this Gemara and the previous Gemara. I'm sure there's more connective tissue, but anyway. Go bring this clothing to those who worship the Baal. So my miltecha, I'm Rav Abba Bar Yaakov, I'm Rav Yochanan, davar hanimlal v'nimtach. So you know how you make linen? Now, of course, my answer is no. I don't know how you make linen. But in the event that you know how to make linen, so it's nimlal. You take the strands and you rub it in your finger. Okay. I never made linen before. I don't know what I'm talking about. So kiyasa Rabbi Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan. So shiger lo buniyam ben muniyam. So Rebbe. Sivni v'chomas salsal amamala. Sivni v'chomas kamguza apagad amguza. And salsal amagala ke pistika upage pistika. Okay. Anyway, so a gift of linen that was sent from Buniyam to Rebbe. Okay? Different types of linens. So my milmala davar nimla v'nimtach. And again, the reason why it comes up over here is because we're using this funny word to describe the linen. Right, the milmala, similar to what we described earlier, because that's how you make linen. You go ahead and you rub the flax in your fingers. Okay. Now, in the transaction of a child, so what kind of allowable error are we going to allow? Shisus, a sixth, just like Ona. Abaye matanasa mai. What if he gives the gift? Are we going to recognize the gift? So Rav Yemer Amar Ematanasa Matamar Amar Baravashi Amar Matanasa Matana. A debate amongst the Amoraim whether or not the included in this rabbinic legislation of allowing children to make kinyanim is whether or not they can give gifts as well. Not receive gifts, but give gifts. So the Gemara says now, Avchua Vishajula Kami to Rav Mordechai. The Shiloh was sent to Rav Mordechai in the Takana of Pu'utos. So does it include gifts as well? And they sent it to Rabbi Mordechai Afchua. They flipped it, meaning the two opinions that we just learned, Rabbi Yemar and Mar Bar Ravashi. So our version has that Rabbi Yemar says the matana is not a matana. Yeah. Rabbi Mar Bar Ravashi says the opposite. When the shaila was presented to Rabbi Mordechai, so they flipped the shitas around. Amrlo zil amrlo le bar mar. So he says, I want you to tell Mar Bar Ravashi the following. Lav hachiava uvde ki have a kaimar, chad kare arav, chad kare adarga. They asked him a shaila. He happened to have been just about to walk up a ladder, 1 foot on the ladder. Ve'amin alei matanas omai. I asked him, ve'amrli matanas omatana. And he told me that the matana is in fact a matana. Now we're not surprised because we were given the right version of Mar Bar Ravashi. It happens to be he was not. So achas matana shchimera, achas matana bari, v'achas matana meruba, v'achas matana muates. Now, when Rav Mordechai heard the psak of Mar Bar Ravashi, he was given opposite information, and that's why he was confused. We, on the other hand, we were given the correct version, therefore we're not confused. Let's do a little bit more for today. We're on the Mishnah on the bottom of the Testament Alf, Eilu Dvarim Amrum Imei Darchei Shalom. Okay, now we move on to Darchei Shalom. Now, in other words, we were talking about Takana's various acts of protections that we're looking to protect, buyers and other individuals. Now, basically, what we're going to do is we want to keep the peace. It's not easy living together, right? Anyone who lives in the community, which is just basically most of civilization, most of the population. So you know that it's not easy, right? People get tired of each other, right? Everyone's got a personality. I'm making an obvious point over here. The Chachamim, what they try to do is increase the peace. Okay, I'm sorry for the alliteration. Okay, but this is what's called Darchei Shalom. Various institutions and acts that were done by the Chachamim to make sure that we can all get along just a little bit better. Let's avoid fighting. Let's. Elu Dvarim Amrim Mimei Darchei Shalom Kohen Kohen Risham V'Acharav Levi V'Acharav Yisrael Mimei Darchei Shalom. So there's going to be an order of operations for Aliyahs. The Kohen will get first. We'll talk more about that later. Ma'arvim Bebaisei Hashem Mimei Darchei Shalom. Where are we going to put the Eruv? Minhag Yisrael has been now for many, many years that the Erev goes and sits there in the shul. Right here in this building. So the Erev Chatzeros, right, the collection of matzah where it's collected from everybody. Okay. If you don't understand Erev Chatzeros, come back again like about 4 years from now when we get back to Erevin. So anyway, so normally it was, well, nowadays it's in the shul. Back in the good old days, it was kept in somebody's house. Whose house should it be in? Once again, we could have a fight. Should belong in my house. In other words, right? Am I not one of the more important people here in the community? Shouldn't the Erev Chatzeros be in my house? So the Gemara says, you know what? We're going to keep it in Bais Yashan. The house that it's normally been all this time, we're going to keep it in that house. So there's a precedent in terms of where it's going to be. I know you can ask me, how did we figure out that's going to go to his house to begin with? Don't know. Borshu Karov La'ama Mitmale Rishon Mimnei Darchei Shalom. Various pits were dug around the river and will dam the river in order to divert the water into our water pits. So the Rishon should go ahead and allow his pit to fill in first. Again, we're going to discuss that also in more detail later on. Mitzudas Chayva Ovas V'dagim Yesh Remishim Gezel Mimnei Darchei Shalom Rav Yossi Omer Gezel Gamor. Okay, I have a birdhouse. I know the Gemara describes that as a trap, but I have a birdhouse. So a bird entered into my birdhouse. So I haven't made a kinyan on it yet. Mibnei Darchei Shalom, nobody can go in there and take that bird. Because if I saw somebody going in and taking the bird from my birdhouse, so there's going to be a fight. In other words, what are you doing? He'll look at me and he'll say, well, you didn't make a kinyan yet. Okay, and you can only imagine where we go from there. So the Chachamim legislated and instituted Darchei Shalom. You know what? No need for fighting. It belongs to the owner of the birdhouse. The bird belongs to the owner of the birdhouse. Now Rabbi Yossi says, Gezel Gamor. No, it's real Gzela. We're going to discuss that later in more detail. Mitzios Cherishot Vekatan. So Yesh Behem Mishom, Gezel, Mimnei Darchei Shalom, Rabbi Yossi Amar Gezel Gamor. Cherishot Vekatan find something. Obviously, they don't have Das. It's not a real Kenyan. Nevertheless, the Chachamim said they get to keep it. Somebody were to take it away from them, that's going to lead to a fight. Ani Hamenakev, Berosh Hazayas, Masha Tachtav Gezel, Mimnei Darchei Shalom, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gezel Gamor. The Ani now is banging on the tree, trying to get that low-hanging fruit to fall down. Now it falls down. Now he's going to eventually leave the tree in order to pick it up. But he hasn't made a kinyan on it yet. Somebody else, in theory, can go ahead and take it, and you know what's going to happen. A fight is going to ensue. So the Chachamim legislated that anything that falls to the ground based on the Ani hitting the tree, so he gets the, it's his. Nobody else is able to take it. Again, a way to increase the peace. Now, again, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not just a Gzera, Gezel Gamor. Again, we'll discuss that in more detail. Ein Memachin, Biyad Ani of the Chachamim, so when a non-Jew goes ahead and starts collecting which is really primarily for the Jewish community, but if a non-Jew goes in there, so what we do not do is we do not chase him off. Again, obviously chasing him off will lead to fighting and probably more anti-Semitism, but in other words, certainly will lead to fighting. Again, more legislation done for Darchei Shalom. We just rattled off in the Mishnah numerous takanas that were made for the purpose of Darchei Shalom, let's at least start number one. Okay, I'm on a roll. And it's late. So Menahani Mili, the Gemara wants to know, where do I know this? Amar Rav Masna, Amar Kra. Vayitzov Moshe Satorah Zos, Vayinam Ela Kohanim B'nei Levi. Ato Ano Lo Yadana De Kohanim B'nei Levi Ninu Ela Kohen V'Reisha V'Hado Levi. We're going to cite an assortment of various drashas in which we see that the Kohen should come before the Levi. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar Mehacha V'Nikshu HaKohanim B'nei Levi Ato Ano Lo Yadina De Kohanim B'nei Levi Ninu Ela Kohen V'Reisha V'Hado Levi. Okay, another basic drasha. I know I'm going to do this quickly. So Rav Ashi Amar Mehacha B'nei Amram Aaron Moshe V'Yibadal Aaron Lakti Show Kodesh Kodashim. Okay, and Aaron was Vayibadel. He was separated. He's first. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Amar Mehacha V'Kidashto L'Chol Davar Shebekdusha. Okay, V'Kidashto, we have to take our kohen. We have to be Mekadosh our kohen. Tanda Be Rabbi Shmuel V'Kidashto L'Chol Davar Shebekdusha Liftorach Rishon Lavarach Rishon Lito Mani Yafa Rishon. The Kohen should always be offered first in terms of making a bracha, meaning benching, and receiving a portion, and I said it out of order, and liftoach, and also to get the first aliyah. So the Gemara says, here's what I'm not understanding, meaning we say now that the Kohen should get first because darchei shalom. What do you mean darchei shalom? It's a drasha. We have just cited 4 or 5 different drashas in terms of how we know Kohen should get first. I'm relaying Daraisa, Mimnei Darchei Shalom. Well, the Din Daraisa is there to preserve the peace. The Gemara says, really, Kol HaTorah Kula Nami, Mimnei Darchei Shalom, He Dechsev, Darche Darchei Nam, V'chol, Nesiv Oseh Shalom. It's all to promote peace. That's the entire Torah. Chol Nesiv Oseh Shalom. Ela Amar Abayi Lecha Damar Detanya. Detanya. Shnei mamtimim zelazesh shabakarish shloshe mamtimim habotzeh uposhe yadot chila v'im ba lach lo kavel rabo lemisha gadol mimeno harishus biyadov amamar Allah lo shanu ela b'seuda avah bebeis hakinesis lo dasi lin suyei. So a couple of rules regarding etiquette. This is a Tosefta in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos also quotes this as well, and that is as follows: if the two of us are eating from a communal bowl and one of us has to take a moment to, let's say, go to the bathroom, so the person sitting there at the table by himself cannot take advantage of the moment. All right? In other words, we were both eating from the bowl, but now he's gone. Look at that. Okay? You have to etiquette demands that you have to go ahead and wait for him to come back. On the other hand, when it comes to 3 people, ein mamtinim. 3 of us are eating from a communal bowl and one leaves, 2 don't have to wait for 1. It really is a numbers game. In other words, right, we don't expect 2 people to sit there and just not eat. So in other words, all three should be sitting at the table. Now, boseo poshe yado tchila v'im balach lo kavel rabo l'mishigadu mimen rishos biyado. Now, the one who's saying hamotzi, and being motzi other people with hamotzi. So if he wants to go ahead and give kavod to his Rebbe, or anyone greater than him, and basically say, you're going to make the motzi, he has the right to do so. That's only by a meal, where basically you can go ahead and yield the floor. However, but when it comes to shul, and when it comes to aliyahs, you cannot. You cannot yield the floor. The Kohen cannot simply say, hey, there's a Talmud Chacham, I'm going to go ahead and pass on the first aliyah to go to the gift to the Talmud Chacham. Don't do that. Don't do that. Asila Antsuye, people are going to be fighting in shul. Amar Rav Masna Had Amar Shebeis Hakneses Lo Lo Amar Nela B'Shabbos V'Yamim Tovim Dishchichei Rav Amar Shemeshen Yishem B'Chamishi Lo. That's only talking about where in shul there's a large audience like on Shabbos. Mondays and Thursdays there are not that many people going to shul on Mondays and Thursdays. You talk about an interesting Tosfos over here. Rabbeinu Tam writes on the second Tosfos of this daf, and that is that Bismanenu, Rabbi Natan writes, many people came to shul on Mondays and Thursdays. Only in the time of the Gemara did people really not, attendance was very poor on Mondays and Thursdays, but in the time of the Rishonim, described by Rabbi Natan, everyone came to shul on Mondays and Thursdays. Eini v'hav Rav Huna kari b'kahana b'shabbos v'yamim tovim. So the Gemara says, now I don't understand Rav Huna. Rav Huna was not a Kohen on Shabbos. On Yontov got the first Aliyah. You told me don't defer in Shabbos and Yontov. People are going to be fighting. So the Gemara says, Shani Ravuna, Dafil Rabbi Amiv Ravasi, Kanechashiva, Derek, you saw Michav HaBechayfilei. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Ravuna is different because Michav HaBechayfilei, they would always yield to Ravuna. Everybody would, and so therefore it would not lead to any kind of fighting. Okay, where do we find ourselves now? That is the end of a... No, I was going to... It's not so bad. I just went over an hour. Okay, and tomorrow, Nisparda Chavila, what happens when there's no Kohen and Shoal, right? Halach Lamaisa, that's where we're going to be starting tomorrow. In the meantime, however, just a quick recap review of today's Shir. Our number one, the Sikrikon. At the end of Nunches, we went over further halachas regarding Sikrikon. So we covered many different details about the original Takana Sikrikon, the second iteration of Takana Sikrikon, but again, the basic idea to walk away from is, it is a way of protecting the buyer. The buyer bought property, he bought it from Sikrikon, questionable history of the property, under limited circumstances, the Chachamim enacted, we want to protect the buyer. In the second iteration of Sikrikon, what you have to do is you have to give a quarter of the sale price back to the original owner. The Sikrikon sold it to you at a discount, you shouldn't benefit from that. So what you should do, even though the Chachamim afforded you the ability to keep the land and not lose your money, but at the same time, however, that discount that you benefited, that should go to the original owner. Okay, that is that ends off our first part of today's daf. In the second iteration of the Takana was done in the court of Rebbe, and then we got a little bit of interesting footnotes regarding Rav was there by that Beis Din. Rav says that he sat there on the side. Happens to be that they asked him. In other words, he voted. He was the first one who voted on it. Gemara was bothered. Why was he the first one? It's not Dina Nefashos. Okay, good. That was number one. Number two, a second big discussion today was a takana for Cheresh. Cheresh, we need him to be able to buy, sell. In other words, Kedei Chayev, he's got to live. So what does he need to do in order to communicate? Obviously, whatever he can. But do we need gesturing, or would it be good if we just simply read lips? Okay, machlokas in the Mishnah, and a question of when do they argue? Fine. Pu'utos, children, right? Today's daf, right? Throughout Shas, you get to hear this, but it's today's daf, where we see the Mishnah inside, and that is that when it comes to the children, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age, depending on their developmental cognitive level, so what they could do is that they can buy and sell metalton. Why could they chayev? So that they could live. Okay, and...
I'm talking about your son.
Right. It's a good point. I'm not sure. Okay, and then finally, our last is that we did the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Tes Amud Aleph, and that Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Tes Amud Aleph rattled off. I did not count it. I should have. Rattled off a number of various takanas that were done, Darchei Shalom. In other words, we fight, we should be fighting less, and the Chachamim legislated and instituted, here are various, I was going to say recommendations, they're more than recommendations, various legislations that were done in order to minimize the amount of fighting that we do with one another. Hey, let's see if we could fight a little bit less. And so that's what we did in the Mishnah, and so right now we're still in the first of the Darchei Shalom enactments, and that is, Kohen should get the first Aliyah. Okay, notable exception to Rav Huna. Rav Huna helped himself to the first Aliyah, but there he was the undisputed leader. Second time in today's daf, we talked about undisputed leaders. He was the undisputed leader of the Jewish people, therefore given the first Aliyah, but under normal circumstances. In Shul, on Shabbos, and Yontif, lots of people there don't give the Aliyah to anyone other than the Kohen. Meaning aside from the fact that we have a mitzvah daraisa of the Kiddushto, aside from that, also, there never could be a possibility of him even yielding the floor, because if he does, it'll lead to fighting. Don't do it. What if there's no Cohen and Shoal? Come back tomorrow.